Richard Sedan. Richard, thank you. And thank you. Goodbye for now.
In the limelight.
Polar researchers will this week embark on a remarkable expedition aimed at providing crucial information about the vast iceberg, A68A, that has been spiraling northwards from Antarctica for the last year. A group from the British Antarctic Survey will set sail on Tuesday, 2nd of February, and head towards the iceberg, which has been floating in waters off the island of South Georgia for several weeks. The article you're about to hear has been written by the Observer journalist Robin McKee. The piece is titled Extraordinary Voyage on the Trail of the Trillion-Ton Runaway Iceberg. Stay with us for more of Robin McKee's article. Polar researchers will this week embark on a remarkable expedition aimed at providing crucial information about the vast iceberg A68A that has been spiraling northwards from Antarctica for the last year. A group from the British Antarctic Survey will set sail on Tuesday, 2nd of February, and head towards the iceberg, which has been floating in waters off the island of South Georgia for several weeks. Once on site, they will direct robot submarines to probe the water underneath the vast frozen structure and study how fresh water melting from the iceberg is affecting life in the ocean. Satellite images last week revealed that A68A has now split into two and could be in its death throes. However, it still remains a threat to the surrounding ecosystem. This iceberg is the size of a large island, and the torrents of very cold freshwater emerging from it as it slowly melts could have really adverse effects on the phytoplankton in the waters off South Georgia Island, Pavel Abramson, the expedition's chief scientist, told the Observer last week. And that could have very important repercussions. Essentially, we have this gigantic ice cube floating in the ocean, and it is cooling and freshening the water around it. That raises worries that this could affect the base of the ocean food chain. Ecosystems in these cold regions are delicately balanced. Marine biologists worry that phytoplankton, microscopic marine organisms that float in the water, could be killed off. This would affect the creatures that feed on phytoplankton, such as krill, a type of crustacean. In turn, this could affect populations of seals, penguins, and whales, which all eat krill and come to South Georgia to feed. Studying such impacts has become vitally important in recent years, according to scientists. Ice shelves at both poles are being destabilized by climate change, and this is increasing the risk that more and more giant icebergs could be set loose and drift to lower latitudes, causing major disruption. The A68A is one of the largest ever icebergs identified by scientists. When it broke free from the Larsen Sea ice shelf in Antarctica in 2017, it had a surface area of 5,800 square kilometers and was twice the size of Luxembourg. Researchers reckon that it would have weighed an estimated 1 trillion tons. For the first 3 years of its existence, the A68A floated close to the coast of the Antarctic Peninsula. Early last year, though, it moved northwards into open waters and began to spiral clockwise slowly towards the island of South Georgia. Since it began its ocean odyssey, the A68A has lost about half its surface area and about two-thirds of its original volume through melting. It's still vast, though, said Abramson. It is still about two-thirds of the size of South Georgia itself, which is remarkable, as it is almost 4 years since it calved from the Larsen ice sheet. Late last year, it was feared the iceberg was heading directly to South Georgia, where it could have become grounded under the island's shallow coastal seabed. This would have disturbed marine ecosystems and blocked feeding paths for penguins and seals on South Georgia. Abramson and 10 colleagues have spent the last 2 weeks in quarantine and are now ready to board the British research ship, the RRS James Cook. It is expected to set sail on Tuesday, 2nd of February, and to reach South Georgia a few days later. Obviously, it will be far too dangerous to get too near the iceberg, added Abramson. Instead, we will rely on gliders. These are robust submarines that can adjust their buoyancy so they can study what is happening at different depths. Each glider is a meter and a half in length and is fitted with wings that allow the craft to glide up and down the ocean, measuring variables such as temperature, salinity, and concentrations of chlorophyll. This latter variable can help gauge how much phytoplankton there is at a given depth in the ocean and at a given location, providing key data about the health of the ocean at that position. The craft navigates using GPS signals and can operate remotely for days at a time. It will not be an easy task despite the sophistication of the team's robot helpers. Avoiding the main iceberg will be relatively straightforward, said Abramson. But he added, however, there could be problems with smaller bits breaking off it. Even a small iceberg can cause quite a bit of damage to a ship, so we will have to be cautious. After a month of gathering data from the iceberg and from other parts of the South Antarctic, the James Cook will return to its base. This region is facing a lot of changes as the climate heats up, and this is going to be an excellent chance to work out how these changes might affect us all, said Abramson. This iceberg will give us a much better understanding of climate change impacts.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Thank you. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Spiritual message of Islam.
His door is open no matter who you are. Just take the first step, you'll see it's not so far. If we all open our eyes to see, he is all that we need right now. And we can all come together somewhere, somehow.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-Aliyy al-Azim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Ala alihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin, la siyama baqiyatillahi fi al-aradin. Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif wa ja'alana min a'wanihi wa ansarihi wa shi'atih. The last point we've been discussing was that community of Ahlul Bayt is a community which is built around the truth and is trying to be always at the service of truth. And we want to continue this and address another important quality, and that is unity. Interestingly, in the Quran you find a close link between being truthful and united. It is only truth that can unite a community, because truth is always one. If you all try to serve the truth, there is no way to be divided, there is no way to fight. As soon as we forget the truth, when we start thinking about our own interest, our own ego, then divisions start and there is no end. Therefore, now I want to move on to the relation that should exist between the members of the community of Ahlul Bayt. So a community which is truthful and therefore united, the members are in maximum friendship and unity with each other. We have many, many hadiths about the love, about the support that should be between the brothers and sisters in faith, between mu'mineen, between the lovers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. I have chosen some hadith about the significance of helping mu'mineen. A community of Ahlul Bayt is a community that everyone is ready to help. So in our hadith we find many things about the need for helping each other. These hadiths are all in Usul al-Kafi. There is a section, Babu Qadha'i Hajat al-Mu'min. Whole section is about helping your brothers and sisters so that their need can be met. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, إن الله عز وجل خلق خلقا من خلقه إن تجبهم لقضاء حوائج فقراء شيعتنا. Allah has created a group of people and chosen them to help the poor Shia of us. Not only financial faqir. It can be financial, it can be education wise. Those Shia who are in need, these are the people who are selected and honored and blessed by Allah to look after these needy members of the community. لِيُثِيبَهُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ الْجَنَّةِ. Then Allah rewards them heaven. By looking after the weak Shia, Allah rewards them Jannah. So what is Imam Sadiq doing here? Isn't he establishing a community? Isn't he saying very clearly that I want you to be together, support each other, and act as one family? فَإِنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ أَن تَكُونَ مِنْهُمْ فَكُنْ. If you can be one of those people, try to be. There is no reason why you cannot be one of those people. It's not, you know, something that is given to some people and not to others. This is opportunity available. No one can say, I didn't know or I didn't have opportunity. Everyone can be a helper for the rest of the community.
Oh, what a wonderful world this would be if we all open our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now, and we can all come together somewhere, somehow. His door is open no matter who you are. Just take the first step, you'll see it's not so far. Down this road that holds all the answers. Open your heart to something greater. His holy book speaks pure and true, and always tells us what we must do. His last prophet was sent as a guide, an example by which we abide. There is salvation for those who seek to find the one and only source of peace and understanding of why we are here, who created us, who we must fear. So what a wonderful world this would be if we all open our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now, and we can all come together somewhere, somehow.
In another hadith, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, لَقَضَاءُ حَاجَةِ امْرَئٍ مُؤْمِنِ. If you meet the need of a mu'min, أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ 20 حَجَّةٍ, is better than 20 hajj. If you help a mu'min, is better than 20 hajj. كُلُّ حَجَّةٍ يُنْفِقُ فِيهَا صَاحِبُهَا 100,000. 20 hajj, that for every one of them, the person spends 100,000, perhaps means 100,000 dirham. He spends lots of money, you know, a very big, you know, qurbani, everything. But help one mu'min is better than 20 hajj. Again, not to underestimate hajj. Hajj is very important. You know, hajj is taken like a measure. It's very important. But to help a mu'min is such a great thing that is better than 20 hajj. In another hadith, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, Man tafa bil bayt usbu'an. If someone goes around Kaaba and does 7 tawaf, kataballahu azza wa jallahu 6,000 hasana. 6,000 hasana will be registered for him. وَمَحَا عَنْهُ سِتَّةَ آلَافِ سَيِّئَةٍ. 6,000 sins will be removed. وَرُفِعَ لَهُ سِتَّةَ آلَافِ دَرَجَةٍ. He will be raised 6,000 ranks. Then Imam said, but if you help one mu'min to overcome the problem that he has, أفضل من تواف وتواف حتى عد عشرة, it's better than one tawaf, better than two tawaf, three tawaf, till Imam said 10 tawaf. A mu'min is now in need of guidance, in need of help, in need of financial assistance, wants to get married, cannot find a good, you know, husband. So many ways to help each other. Don't always, you know, look for individual hasana. Look for social hasana, for community hasana. Something that you do for others, because the reward is much, much more than doing something just for yourself. Abu Basir says that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, تَنَافَسُوا فِي الْمَعْرُوفِ لِإِخْوَانِكُمْ, compete each other in doing good for your brothers. Don't just compete for doing good for yourself. This is better for you. وَكُونُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ, try to be one of such people that help other mu'mineen. Then Imam said, فَإِنَّ لِلْجَنَّ بَابًا, there is a gate for heaven, and the name of that gate is Al-Ma'roof. لا يدخلوا إلا من استنع المعروف في الحياة الدنيا. The only people who can enter through that gate are those who have done good to others. فَإِنَّ الْعَبْدُ لَيَمْشِي فِي حَاجَةِ أَخِيهِ الْمُؤْمِنِ, the servant of Allah walks to help his brother and sister. فَيُوَكِّلُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ بِهِ مَلَكَيْنِ, Allah commissions two angels, one on his right, one on his left. يَسْتَغْفِرَانِ لَهُ رَبَّهِ, they ask forgiveness for him. يَدْعُوَانِ بِقَ, Allah says, oh Allah, please do, you look after also him. He's looking after his brother, you look after him. Then Imam Sadiq said, والله لرسول الله أسر بقضاء حاجة المؤمن إذا وصلت إليه من صاحب الحاجة. By Allah, Rasulullah will be happier than the person that you are helping. This person will be very happy you are helping. But Rasulullah is even happier than that person. Do you want to make Rasulullah happy? So help your brothers and sisters. If Rasulullah sees that you are, mashallah, such a mature mu'min that you help brothers and sisters, you go out of your way to help them, then you make Rasulullah happy.
I'm looking back throughout the years to breathe is hard and my eyes are choked with tears. Your face and hair are full of light. Now it will soon be time to go. I feel you feeling calm now. Did the angel let you know?
Oh Allah, please send your salutations to Muhammad and all Muhammad. Oh Allah, please forgive us. Please forgive all our sins and mistakes and shortcomings. Please enable us to serve you with full honesty and truthfulness and sincerity. Please include us among the best followers of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. Please protect and safeguard our community and our families and our youths from everything that you don't like. Oh Allah, please hasten the reappearance of Imam Zaman Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. Please make our Imam Zaman happy with what we do and what we say. Please answer his du'as for his faraj. Please give shifa to all people who are ill. Please give shifa to people who are ill in their body and in their soul. Oh Allah, please send your rahmah, your forgiveness to all who have passed away, especially brothers and sisters who were attending these majalis in this community and other communities. Our parents, our foreparents, our teachers, our ulama, our maraji, those who have passed away. Please let them be with Muhammad and Ali Muhammad right now. And please give long life and blessed life to the parents and to the teachers and maraji who are alive. Oh Allah, please make the last moment of our life the best moment of our life. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
That was the Characters of Shia Community by Hujjatul Islam, Dr. Shomali, in the program The Spiritual Message of Islam.
My Ummah, he will say, Rasulullah on that day, even though
we've strayed from him and his way. My brothers, my sisters in Islam, let's struggle, work and pray. If we are to bring back the glory of his way. Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
Food for thought.
Salam, and here we present you a brilliant description of the Noble Quran by Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace upon her, the last and most comprehensive heavenly scripture that God Almighty revealed to her father, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny for the guidance of mankind. A covenant he brought unto you, and an heir he left to guard you. That is the eloquent book of Allah, the truthful Quran, the brilliant light, the shining beam. Its insights are indisputable. Its secrets are revealed. Its indications are manifest. And his followers are blessed by it.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
and welcome back. Some might say pandas are natural born celebrities, and they are right. In China, Sichuan province, 10 panda cubs have made their first public debut with throngs of journalists and photographers watching their every move. All of the adorable creatures, which are not named yet, were born in 2020 at a Wulong Conservation and Research Center. Their age ranges from just 120 to 190 days. Each of the cubs has a weight of about 10 kilograms. Over the past year, a total of 44 panda cubs were born around the globe.
79-year-old Siberian grandmother ice skates on frozen Lake Baikal to look after her cows, or just to have some fun. The bush of Morkodova has lived alone by the world's oldest and deepest lake since her husband died in 2011. Her daily routine consists of chopping wood and carrying buckets of water from an ice hole, keeping cows and regularly hitting the ice. Lubushov uses a pair of steel skates made by her father 76 years ago to check on her cows when they walk too far from her house. When asked why she likes skating, the babushka said because her heart longs for it.
I need my skates for various things. I need them to run errands and I need them for fun, to have a skate or to look for my cows. I can ice skate here and there when walking through the snow is hard. I skate to a direction looking for my cows. And when I see they're not there, I skate to another part and find them roaming there. I call them and they return home, just like that. And without chores, when I just want to ice skate, I can do it.
Even the strong winds, unrelenting cold, and constant hard work don't deter Lubushka Morkodova, whose name translates as love walking on the sea. Since her husband's death, she has been resisting calls from her family to move back to the city. Lake Baikal is often frozen over for half of the year, and the septuagenarian believes skating on it is the secret to her longevity.
Two giant pandas at a zoo in Washington take full advantage of the winter season and have a blast playing in the snow. The animals' pure joy, caught on camera, could melt even the iciest hearts. In a clip shared by the zoo, the adorable panda bears are seen rolling, sliding, and tumbling around in the snow. The zookeepers say the pair's five-month-old male cub also experienced his first encounter with snow. They say he even took a little nip at the fresh powder. However, he only spent a few minutes outside his indoor habitat. The National Zoo is currently closed to visitors due to the coronavirus pandemic, but its panda cam is available for all to enjoy.
Conservationists have rescued a third giraffe from the flooding island of Lake Baringo off Kenya. The daring rescue was the third such operation since the area was hit with intense rain, threatening the survival of the trapped animals. Two other maroon giraffes were transferred to safety in December. Local rangers say the animals are trained before being moved, so they don't need to tranquilize them. They say six other Rothschild's giraffes are still stranded on the shrinking island.
We still have quite a number, six actually giraffes, including the recent young one which was born in December. This is a process that we are trying to look at a case or day-by-day scenario. The moment we train these remaining giraffes, the moment they are ready, we move them. But the target is to move these animals by...
The rangers say they plan to complete moving all the giraffes to a purpose-built sanctuary on the mainland by no later than May. Today, there are fewer than 3,000 Rothschild's giraffes in Africa, with 800 of them living in Kenya.
The sniffing abilities of dogs are being put to the test at a leading French veterinary laboratory where dogs are being trained to detect the coronavirus. Five dogs from the canine brigades of the French National Gendarmerie have been training since early January. They sniff at a number of vessels, each containing a piece of cloth with human sweat. Some samples are from patients with COVID-19, negative donors, or even neutral scents. When the canine shows interest in a vessel with a COVID-19 sample, it is rewarded.
It will soon be necessary to screen asymptomatic people in all kinds of spaces, schools, nursing homes, which must continue to be better understood and defined, and airports. This type of tool, which makes it possible to offer at least one strong criterion of suspicion, will facilitate the whole process in terms of user-friendliness, accessibility, and reactivity.
Well, the dog's keen sense of smell is said to be able to detect the coronavirus in 95% of positive cases. It's hoped that the canines will be able to detect COVID-positive people even if they show no symptoms. The animals can be used as a non-invasive way of testing for the viral infection, as well as many other life-threatening illnesses. Igloo, a dome-shaped structure made of snow and ice, gives us an idea of the Inuit of Arctic. But hang on. The ski resort hotel in Indian-controlled Kashmir has come up with a similar idea to attract visitors. The Kolahoy Green Heights has an igloo cafe where tourists can enjoy hot drinks and food in sub-zero temperatures. Even the tables in the Eskimo-style cafe are made of ice and snow. As many as 16 people can sit and chill out in the igloo at any given time. The icy cafe is 25 feet around. Unlike those on the Arctic, this particular igloo has elements of local architecture, like an arched door and patterns on the curved walls.
A French-Swiss artist spray paints a huge fresco on the grounds of Cape Town as part of a global project aimed at fostering unity in a polarized world. The 31-year-old artist tries to convey his message of togetherness in his movement called Beyond Walls. The project consists of frescoes depicting two hands clasping each other's forearms around the world. South Africa's Cape Town represents an essential step of the project due to its history marked by apartheid. The self-taught artist says he wants to create the biggest human chain in the world, and Cape Town is his ninth step.
Because for me, I really trust that it's only together that humanity can respond to the biggest challenge of our time. And this is this message that I want to do by making huge fresco with beautiful paint directly on the grass. It is a worldwide project, and the idea is to create the biggest human chain to speak about togetherness. And today in Cape Town, this is the ninth step of this project.
Saip uses paint made out of charcoal, chalk, water, and milk proteins to create his art, making it eco-friendly. He was also named one of the most influential young artists by Forbes magazine for his art, which is best viewed from aerial footage. His temporary biodegradable images have been previously painted on lawns in eight cities, including Paris, Andorra, Geneva, Berlin, Ouagadougou, and Istanbul. And a parade of classic and vintage cars has enlivened the streets of French capital Paris. About 700 vehicles of various eras drove through the streets of Paris, passing its landmarks such as the Eiffel Tower. Different vehicles, including cars, buses, and motorcycles, took part in the show. It was the 21st edition of the parade that takes place twice a year. The event is the most important one for old car enthusiasts in France. That's a wrap up. Thank you so much for being with us, and bye-bye.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters. Thank you so much for joining us on today's special.
Ah!
today, Saturday, is the 23rd of Jamadi Thani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 18th of the month of Bahman, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 6th of February, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran and we listen to Surah Al-Hujurat, verses 17 and 18.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Yamunnuna alayka an aslamu. Qul la tamunnu alayya islamakum. Balillahu yamunnu عليكم أن هداكم للإيمان إن كنتم صادقين.
They consider it a favor to you that they have accepted Islam. Say, do not consider your Islam a favor to me. Rather, Allah has conferred favor upon you that He has guided you to the faith if you should be truthful.
إن الله يعلم غيب السماوات والأرض والله بصير بما تعملون.
Indeed, Allah knows the unseen aspects of the heavens and the earth, and Allah is seeing of what you do.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Being guided to the Islamic faith and embracing it are great divine favors conferred upon man, since Allah Almighty is needless of his belief, faith, and worship. The blessed verse, verse 17 of chapter Hujurat, reflects that no one deserves reward in return for his belief or for his righteous good deeds. The rewards promised to believers are through divine favor rather than owing to worthiness, since Allah Almighty confers whatever He wills to whoever He wants.
In the month of Bahman, the month of Islamic Revolution, be with today's special.
You're listening to IRIB English Radio, and this program, today's special, we're going to speak about the fundamentals of Iran's Islamic Revolution. Today, no one can deny the reality that the liberating movements which took place against despotic regimes in various Muslim states have been affected by the Islamic Revolution that triumphed in Iran 42 years ago. So impressive is the impact of the revolutionary events on the people of our neighborhood that even Turkey, despite the secularism imposed on it, did not remain unaffected. In other words, the coming to power of an Islamic-oriented government in Turkey is proof of the fact that the government and party are all indebted to the Islamic Revolution in Iran. Similarly, the Islamic awakening that brought down regimes in North Africa and West Asia over the past few years owes its power to the Islamic Revolution of Iran. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. Concerning the Islamic Revolution of Iran, it must be indicated that, as its name suggests, it has been the Islamic Revolution of Iran. Now we find that Imam Khomeini himself, as a religious and clerical personality, was he himself was an erudite personality. He was a high-ranking mujtahid and a very skillful teacher in the seminary, Qom Seminary. He was coming from the very nation. I mean, he wasn't someone just beside the whole nation or, for example, apart from the nation. No, he belonged to the heart of the nation. He was such a thinker that he wanted to come up with the foundational and fundamental intellectual changes in the whole country. He wanted all people to overthrow the Pahlavi dynasty in order for the coming and for the introduction of the Islamic values and Islamic standards. Now we find that when Imam Khomeini started his revolution, well, he never had any armed forces. And at the same time, in the beginning, he wanted to give advice and to direct and to guide the ex-Pahlavi royal dynasty so that they might take lessons from his recommendations and admonitions. However, the ex-Pahlavi royal dynasty, instead of taking lessons and instead of appreciating the sincere guidance of the late Imam Khomeini, it launched a military aggression against the city of Qom, suppressed a religious ceremony that was being held at Madrasa Faiziya, just near the shrine in Qom. And afterwards, the ex-Pahlavi royal dynasty arrested Imam Khomeini, kept him in jail in Tehran for several months. And after that, the ex-Pahlavi royal dynasty sent Imam Khomeini into exile, first to Turkey and then from Turkey to Iraq.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Bahman presents today's special. Be with us with today's special and Imam Khomeini's political thought. Imam Khomeini's arguments on the alliance between religion and politics. Imam Khomeini, in his Tahrir al-Wasila, writes, "Islam is the religion of politics with its all dimensions. It is very clear for those who have the least knowledge of political, economic, and social aspects of Islam. Thus, anybody maintaining that religion is separate from politics has no knowledge of religion and politics." Dear friend, according to Imam Khomeini, the Quran contains political and social issues more than ethical and ritual personal matters. Even the rituals mentioned in the Holy Quran are politically oriented. Thus, it can be stated that politics intermingled with rituals and vice versa. On the anniversary of victory of Islamic Revolution in Iran, we have a special part, stories from the life of Imam Khomeini, under the title Exceptional Joy. Imam's daughter narrates, "The last of the 21st of the Iranian month of Bahman, February 10th, 1979, Imam Khomeini was sitting with his head down listening to the radio.
I was also sitting by his side. It was announced that the radio and television stations had fallen from the government's control. Imam clapped two hands together and stood up without thinking. I have only seen him clap his hands dead once. He was very happy, and this happiness was apparent on his face. At that very time, he said, "Now it's finished. Now it's finished." I did not understand then what this sentence meant. Afterwards, I understood that when the radio fell into the hands of the nation, the world would understand that the regime had fallen out of power. Perhaps I can say that I have at no other time seen the happiness of that day on his face.
Imam Ridwanullah Alayh, people say his revolution is the biggest service. I respectfully disagree. Revolution is just one of the long list of services that he has done. The biggest aspect of his personality that distinguishes him from the rest is his level of ma'rifat and irfan of Imam Sahibuz Zaman alayhi salam.
According to my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi hafizahullah, he said that Imam Ridwanullah alayhi reached kamalul inqita' that we read in Munajat Sha'baniyah. Munajat Sha'baniyah is one of those du'as that every member of Ahlul Bayt recited. It's one of those unique and precious du'as, although all the du'as are precious. Imam Khomeini used to call the du'as of Ahlul Bayt to be Al-Qur'an al-Sa'id. This Qur'an that me and you have in our hands is called Al-Qur'an al-Nazil, the descending Qur'an. Whereas the du'as of Ahlul Bayt, because he was an arif, you know, I wish the Islamic Ummah only learned their religion from those who are arif. And our destinies would change for good, forever. I wish. So, he used to call the du'as of Ahlul Bayt as Al-Qur'an al-Sa'id, the ascending Qur'an. You know, it's no less than the Holy Qur'an, the du'as of Ahlul Bayt. Why would that be less? Because your statement can become less if you are afraid about the mental level of the audience. Or the speaker himself is not of the caliber to speak the high stuff. In this case of the du'as, the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are the most perfect reflections of every single name and attribute, the names of beauty and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the audience is Allah himself. Why would the kalam and statement, the du'as, would be less than the value of Quran? So you find he reached the kamal al-inqita', breaking away from everything.
I invite you to listen to the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Till then, have a nice time.
What you heard was an IRIB English Radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.